everybody, it's episode 185 of PodQuest.
185? Oh, that's stupid. Let's go backwards now. 184. Nope. Next week will be 184.
No, no, we're 185, and then next week is 186. That's how numbers work.
Can we just go backwards?
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
It's March 14th. It's a Wednesday. And this is PodQuest. Facts.
He pointed at you when he said it, so I felt like I had to point you at you, too.
I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
Walnut.
Yeah.
And we're back again. It's a video. If you're watching on youtube.com/onequestvideo, you're seeing this in all its glory.
Are they seeing it? They might have YouTube Red and just close it.
I mean, that's possible, but at that point, why don't you just get it off of a podcast service?
Well, like, what podcast service, Cobb?
Any.
All of them.
I know.
Any one of them. If you want the full rundown of all of them, listen to the end, like, the last, like, 2 minutes.
So listen to this entire thing so you can find out where you can listen to it.
No, honestly, yeah. you can literally skip to the last 2 minutes. I run through all of that.
And then go download it and then listen to the show.
Yeah, just start it over. You'll see all this again. It'll be great.
And then keep this running in the background.
Yeah. Just put it on infinite loop till this gets to, like, 9 trillion views.
We want it the most viewed thing on YouTube.
Yeah. You know what I do realize, and there's no real space for it, but if you guys look at the monitor,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have, like, social media.
Uh-huh.
And then we have YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And the Patreon.
Uh-huh.
Off to the other side over there. I don't have anything about the actual podcast, though, because there's not any room to put, like, iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and...
Well, I mean, you should
just
have
change our faces to the different podcasts.
I'll be iTunes, he'll be Stitcher, you can be Google Play.
So, it's a shame if YouTube hadn't become very anal about stuff. You used to be able to put, like, the links and have it go to, like, outside sources, and now I think it's, you have to be a creator partner thing, so you need, like, 10,000 subscriptions or something crazy. You also need, you can only link to one external source. So, like, if we want it to link to iTunes and the website and Patreon, we couldn't. We could only link to one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, because the only other thing you can do is you can link to, like, your other videos, which, like, yes, that's cool, but also, I'd rather have, like, a link to go to the website and a link to go to Patreon. Specifically because, like, we only do one video a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's 3 to 4 other podcasts going up in that month. But I digress. News happened, as it is wont to do.
Did it happen?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, there was actually quite a bit of news. Surprisingly, a lot of game-related news.
Okay.
So I'm not going to start with that.
Good.
What I'm going to start with is Toys R Us is probably going to liquidate its U.S. operations.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm waiting until they start further liquidation, and I'm going to go to Deptford and see if I can buy some really cheap video games and stuff. Or maybe shelving units. Not really shelving units.
Honestly, that's the way to buy shelving units.
I know. If I were opening up a store or something, I would just go to Toys R Us and buy their shelves.
Or if you just had a need for that kind of shelving.
I don't really have a need for that kind of shelving, though.
Yeah, so Toys R Us informed its employees, excuse me, the company will shutter all remaining 700 stores in the United States or attempt to sell them whenever possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yep.
So it doesn't say exactly when, like, liquidations may start, but it's going to happen soon, and that sucks. Like, I went through that for, like, any, like, people that work at Toys R Us. Like, it's shitty. It's not so much shitty because, like, you're losing your job, and, like, for some people that is a huge deal because mm-hmm. maybe that's the only job in the area that they could get. Like,
yeah.
That wasn't it sucked losing my job, but I also wasn't that worried because at that point, like, I was still in school.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I'd be able to get another retail job that paid similar. And this was at Circuit City. Right. But, like, the level of douchebag that shops at places when they're liquidating is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I dealt with the scummiest fucking people. And, like, you'd look at them and be like, you look like a genuinely normal, nice human being. No, this place is going out of business, so I'm just going to be the worst fucking human that I can be.
I'm just going to leave it a mess. I don't give a shit about
Not even just, like, messes. Like, literally, they were just awful to people.
Sounds about right.
What are you going to do, complain to your higher-ups? Like,
people, like, saying, like, you deserve to lose your job because we wouldn't lower a price for them.
The prices are already lower,
And not only that, like, when a company liquidates, they hire another company to come in and, like, liquidate.
Yeah.
the store has no control over any of that. We were not, like, I couldn't look at a thing and be like, okay, well, that's open box. I'll take another 10% off of it. It's, the liquidator said that thing is 30% off of its retail price. That's what it is until they mark the prices lower in a week.
Yeah. Also, you were, like, a big retail chain, not, like, mom-and-pop electronics store. You have no control over the price on exactly. any other day. The, so why, now that they're going out of business, would random employee have the capability to just, yeah. Let me change that price for you.
I mean, the company's going down. You should have just given them a five-finger discount.
Well, so, I think I'm sure I've told you guys the story before. I don't know if I've ever told it on the podcast. The only person that had the power outside of the liquidators to make, like, pricing adjustments was, like, this one kid who I want to say he was loss prevention. So, like, he was one of the guys that would, like, check your receipt when you walked out the door and shit like that. He got moved to fixture sales. So he was actually in charge of selling all the shelving units.
Okay.
And what he was actually able to do was if an item was defective, he could sell it, and he could basically make up the price as long as it was, like, 20% of the cost of the item, I think it worked out to be.
Okay.
Like, that was as low as it could go. It had to at least have been 10 or 20% of what the item cost. So, by, like, the last weekend that the store was open, we had purposely been holding TVs, like, convincing people not to buy them. Because at that point, none of the prices were that good that people were just, like, ignoring reason and just buying shit. And we had purposely, like, adjusted that television's wall unit to make it look shittier than every other TV around it and made sure that every other TV around it was the best possible TV it could be.
Yeah.
And these were nice 50-inch plasmas. And that this was 2009, so at the time, like, it was a really nice television. And they were, like, $2,200 televisions, I believe.
Yeah, plasmas were expensive. Yeah.
So, we grabbed, it was the last Saturday we were, I believe we closed on a Sunday. Store opened and people came in and they just started grabbing the TVs because the boxes were just on the floor at that point to go buy them. Because I think they were maybe like 60% off or 50% off, something like that.
Yeah.
They were still, you know, over $1,000 though. So when we saw that, a bunch of us, we just grabbed all, as many as we could. So we grabbed like five or six of them, pulled them to like behind the cash registers. There was like an office area. We pulled them all out there. We opened them. We took a knife and we scraped it across the bottom of the base of the television.
Okay.
So literally, like, you would never see this again unless you were holding the TV above your head or upside down. And they were scratched, so they were all defective. So we were then able to sell them for 20% of the cost, and we all bought a $2,000 television for $200.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then, like, I know our manager did something similar for a bunch of people, like, that were actually in a bad, like, not like a they were going to lose their home bad place, but, like, the job was actually, like, important to them.
Yeah.
For stuff. Like, he got one guy, like, a laptop for basically free. Like, stuff like that. Like, nothing that was, like, a huge deal, but, like, the guy needed a computer now that he, like, didn't have a job. He needed to look for a job. So,
yeah.
He's like, look, this computer, like, no one bought it. Like, give me, like, $20, and I'll just say it was a fixture sale, and store's closing, so who's going to fucking say anything to me?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, like, just some of the people that were coming into the stores at that point. Like, one of my direct supervisors, I was standing up at the front registers for some, like, we didn't even use the front registers. I don't know what I was doing up there. Talking to one of the other supervisors. And then, like, my direct supervisor comes over to me. And, like, we were all right around the same age. And he comes up close. He's like, so that woman over there, the one with the real bitch face, she just called me a liar. Because I told her that we couldn't sell her the display unit of something. Because we weren't selling floor models yet.
Yeah.
Like, the floor models were still, like, what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't know whether she saw him talking and just assumed he was talking about her, or if she just wanted to get, like, one good, like, lick in. But she comes over and she leans over the counter and goes, you're a real little fucking prick and I'm glad you're losing your job. And then, like, storms out.
Wow.
And on her way out, that my supervisor goes, well, you're a menopausal bitch, so. Because, again, like, he just didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're losing your job.
What are you going to do, fire me?
Yeah. I had one guy who wanted to buy a computer. And he's asking me all these questions, and I'm answering them. Like, I'm still doing my job. And, like, the price was still, it was the regular price for the computer. Like, we had just started liquidating, and a lot of that stuff didn't get marked down. Like, they marked down all the shitty stuff first, and then really started marking down the big stuff. And, he's like, well, this is on sale over at Best Buy. I'm like, well, like, we don't do sales anymore. Like, we're going out of business. I can't do anything about it. He's like, well, can't you price match it? I'm like, no, like, we're going out of business. He's like, well, I'm just going to go over to Best Buy then and buy it. I'm like, all right, have a good time. And he got so mad at that he starts yelling at me. And, like, I couldn't fathom it. Like, I was just dumbfounded. So, like, one of the supervisors comes over and, like, asks me what's wrong. I'm like, I told him to have a nice time at Best Buy. And, like, he got really mad. And this guy's just standing there, like, still yelling at us. And my supervisor's just like, just walk away. I'll handle this. I don't know what he said to him, but he came back. He's like, I don't know what you did wrong, but this guy was really upset about that for some reason. He's going to Best Buy, though, so...
He wanted you to give him an even lower price than Best
like,
Buy.
Yeah, like, he wanted me to feel bad that he was going to another store. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I didn't give a fuck when we weren't going out of business. I don't give a fuck now.
Yeah.
I don't make commission.
Yeah.
I never did. Like,
so, fucking so many people feel, I think, like, just random retail employee makes commissions on stuff. Well, they always give you the, well, I'll go to wherever, and it's like, okay.
I especially because I had been in so many jobs that required some sort of sales, like, it was GameStop or Circuit City or even Petco, like, when I was doing dog training, and that was a little commission. Like, I did get, like, the classes were, like, $120, and I got, like, $20 for every class I sold. Like, it wasn't much, but it was something.
I mean, that's 20% of that sale. Well,
yeah, I mean... Yeah, but, So, I was always very clear with people. I'm like, look, I actually do it now even with my clients, because I don't make commission off of anything that, like, I sell them. Like, if I sell them on, like, $30,000 worth of server equipment, I don't make a fucking dime off of that. Like, it's actually just giving me more work to fucking do, because then I have to set it all up. But I would just tell them up front. I'm like, look, like, I'm telling you what your best option is here. Like, I'm not making extra money off of this. I'm making my, like, $9 an hour or whatever I was making at the time in retail. Like,
yeah.
That's it. Like, I'm not on commission. So, like, you can believe me or not.
Yeah.
And that usually got people, when it wasn't, like, a liquidation setting, to be like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I thought you were just trying to, you know, sell me up on all this bullshit because it got you more money in your pocket. I'm like, no, like, it doesn't do anything for me.
Nope.
Like, I can go get this price higher if you want. Like, do you want a bigger screen? Like, we can get you a bigger monitor. We can add this printer. I can get you a bunch of software you don't need. It'll be great. I sold computers. Like, I was in the computer department at Circuit City. So, but yeah, that's not that I shop at Toys R Us, but it's kind of a fucking bummer to, like, think that, like, Toys R Us isn't going to exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, but the thing is, anytime. Even in my, like, late teens, anytime I walked into a Toys R Us, I was just depressed.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not a great place.
They were always dead.
Well, it's not even dead. Like, even when they're busy during Christmas, it's just the stores are terribly laid out, and it's just depressing atmosphere.
But you know what? Even when... I've only been at Toys R Us maybe, like, I don't know, six times in the last 10 years. Every time, there's always that, like, you know, you find that one aisle with a bunch of cool shit, you're like, man, toys are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, their video game department was just depressing, usually.
No, like, anytime I walk into the Toys R Us, yeah, I go to the boys section, and I see all the superheroes and stuff, and I'm like, this is all really cool stuff, and I'm so mad, and then I get depressed, because we didn't have toys like that when I was a kid.
You did, though. You just didn't get them.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, like, we're never going to have another, Toy Run thing. What was that thing that Nickelodeon used to have? I forget what it was actually called.
I mean, I want to say it was the something Toy Run.
Yeah, like, where you had, like, a minute to, like, run through a Toys R Us and grab as much as you could.
And put it every in a car, whatever you got, you got.
Every kid was too stupid, and they went for, like, bicycles and shit. It's like, no, you go for the fucking electronics, you grab every slip for every single game, and then, look, you have thousands of dollars worth of stuff in your cart, and all it is little slips of paper.
Yeah.
but...
I want to say I was reading an article earlier that someone that they owe like $21 million in the bankruptcy proceedings is trying to just buy the Canadian wing of Toys R Us and keep and the Toys R Us brand and keep the Toys R Us stores around, because even they're like, it would suck to not have Toys R Us be a thing anymore.
Yeah. I know, like, similar thing happened with Circuit City. Like, other companies purchased, like, the rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they kept it going as, like, an online store, and it was, like, affiliated with Tiger Direct for a while.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think there's a few places in the country that actually have, like, physical locations again. But, yeah, like, hopefully something happens, and...
Yeah.
Because, like, at that point, there's literally no toy stores left. Like, KB has been gone. I'm sure there's, like, little, like, mom and pop and, like, regional stores, but KB's been gone forever. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw a KB toy. And, like, now Toys R Us. Like, if you want toys, you're going to fucking, like, Walmart or Amazon.
Walmart, Target, stuff like that. Yeah, Kmart.
Kmart's gone.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think they finally closed down all the Kmarts.
That's right. It's a Home Goods now. It's not a Kmart. Out by Morristown.
The Home Goods had been there. The Kmart was next to it.
Then what's there now?
Nothing.
Oh.
A big empty store.
Oh.
Okay. That's what happens to the Kmarts. They're just big empty stores mostly.
Yes. Even when they were in business.
Because, I mean, even the one that was right around the corner from here, it's now five different places. Because, like, from the gym to the end.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because they were just giant stores and no one went to them.
Yeah, so now it's a Planet Fitness, a Petco, a dialysis place, I believe, one place is.
Yeah.
I believe there's an empty shop front over there still, and then there's a thrift store around the side.
I think there's, like, not even just a dialysis place. I think there might even be a spa there, too. I don't know.
That's don't think weird. There is, but you never know. Anyway, moving on. DC is doing a thing called Black Label, where they're kind of just going to give some of, like, the top creators just characters to, like, write a story that they want to write. That doesn't necessarily have to fall into continuity.
Okay.
So, the original article I read, like, last week about it was... They were making comparisons to, like, the Earth One books or Dark Knight Returns, where, like, Frank Miller got to just write his Batman story, and his Batman story happened to be an aging Bruce Wayne, you know, X amount of years in the future, kind of not being Batman anymore, but having to come back to being Batman.
Yeah,
okay. And, like, nothing that happened before or after that really matters. You can kind of drop it into continuity where you want.
Well, I can get behind those.
Yeah, so... It's gonna be standalone takes on characters like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, like, you know, the big characters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already got some creators. Frank Miller is gonna be working on something.
Nice.
Cool. Scott Snyder, who has been working on Batman for the last 9 years in various forms.
Maybe Miller will continue the Dark Knight Returns with, because
he's already continued the Dark Knight Returns 3 times.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah, there's the Dark Knight Returns, the Dark Knight Strikes Again, and then the Dark Knight 3, I think, is what they're calling.
Okay, because I saw the movie for the Dark Knight, like the two movies for the Dark Knight Returns, or is it two movies or one? I can't remember, but it's two.
It's a part one and a part two.
I saw part one and two of the movies. I never read them, but I was like, it'd be cool to see like the continuation of this stuff and where everything goes from there.
So actually, and what IGN's article lists as like inspiration for it is actually Batman: The Killing Joke and Watchmen. Which are two, you know, standalone graphic novels,
mm-hmm.
Watchmen being its entirely own thing when it was created anyway. Now they're wrapping it into the DC universe.
Yeah. There's been Justice League cartoons that had the Watchmen in it.
Have there?
Yeah. Maybe a movie, but it had Owlman, and it was, he was...
No, that's different. Different Owlman.
Okay.
That's Earth 3, that's the crime syndicate.
Never mind then. I thought...
No, so Earth 3 is... All the heroes are villains. So you have Ultraman, Superwoman, instead of, like, it is Wonder Woman, but she's a bad guy. Owlman is Batman. I forget what their Flash is called. Green Lantern is just Power Ring.
Okay.
So it's all stuff like that, and, like, it's all twists on the characters. Like,
okay.
Ultraman, is actually weakened by the sun, whereas Superman gains his strength from the sun.
Yeah.
But Kryptonite makes him stronger.
Okay.
So it's like weird shit like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, because Owlman was voiced by James Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I remember that.
That was Crisis on Two Earths, okay, or something like that. I've seen that before.
And I haven't seen that.
Yeah, no, Watchmen. So literally within the last 3 months, they started doing a storyline called Doomsday Clock, where Rorschach, it's not the original Rorschach, Osmia Dias, or however you say his name, Adrian, and the comedian have all ended up in the DC universe.
Okay.
And they've alluded to the fact that Dr. Manhattan may or may not be the reason for the DC universe to exist. Or at the very least, he is the reason that Flashpoint happened.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
It's really weird, but also actually kind of interesting.
Sidetrack, I never actually seen the Watchmen movie. My dad had turned it on once. I didn't realize there actually was blue dung in that movie.
Yeah.
I knew there was
giant blue dung.
Like, I knew they had blue dung, but I didn't realize, like, it was as prominent as it was at times. I was like, that's blue dung, and your 2-year-old niece is here. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, but still.
Not a great movie. It's hard to get through.
It's long, so any time I've ever sat down to watch it, it was late, and I was getting ready to fall asleep anyway.
It is super long, and if I'm just double checking before I say something. Yep, Zack Snyder directed it.
Yeah.
Which is why it's not a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, the pacing is just real bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they compare to those two. Right now, the titles that are announced for it, it's going to be Superman Year One, which is, that's going to be the Frank Miller book with John Romita Jr. artwork.
Okay.
Which, Frank Miller's late, like, everything Frank Miller has done in the last, like, decade, I haven't been a big fan of, and I don't really like John Romita Jr.'s work,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I'll even bother with that. There's also going to be a book called Batman The Last Knight on Earth, Knight with a K, and that's going to be Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, who, they are the team that have done Batman for the last almost decade.
Yeah.
Okay.
They started with New 52 in 11. And they are wrapping up their final, like, book together of Batman this month, actually.
Okay.
Well, their final, like, current book, because then they're going to do this that's outside of continuity.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a Batman Damned, is what they're calling it. And that's going to be Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. I don't know how to pronounce his name at all. Brian Azzarello, like, he did a really good run on The Flash. I think he did something on Wonder Woman also. He's a good writer, though. I like his stuff. And Wonder Woman, Historia, which is going to be Kelly Sue DeConnick and Phil Jimenez. And Kelly Sue is who kind of reinvented Captain Marvel.
Okay.
So she, like, I think it was somebody else's actual, like, idea, but she took the, like, she was writing the books where Carol Danvers was first Captain Marvel instead of Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, made that character what she is today. She's also done a bunch of other cool books, so that's actually pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And there's some other stuff on here, like Greg Rucka is going to do a Wonder Woman book, and I don't even know what that is. The other history of the DC universe is going to be a thing. So it's actually kind of cool. Because like you said, it's standalone things that if you don't read comics, but maybe you want to read something about like a character that you're familiar with, it's an easy place to go to read something and not have to worry about what came before or after.
I can, like, I really like one shots and things like that. I can get behind it. Like, I don't need to know everything about everything.
Yeah.
But like, once you start incorporating a whole gigantic universe where it's like, oh, I need to know Iron Man's story or whoever's story to know this story to understand that story, then I'm like, it's just too much. Give me a one shot. Let me read The Incredible Hulk or let me read Flash without having to know everything else. And without incorporating anything else. If you want to incorporate other heroes, fine, but keep it its own story.
And I mean, like, for the most part, DC in particular is pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't do as many giant crossovers the way Marvel does.
Yeah.
And when they do, like, right now they have their Dark Knight's Metal thing going on, which is, there was, like, 2 issues of, like, every book back in, like, the fall were affected by it.
Yeah.
But, like, since then, like, that series is still going on in, like, its monthly capacity with its other tie-ins. But all of the actual, like, monthly books are just back to normal. And it's one of those things, like, you could have easily skipped the two tie-in books and not missed a beat for the story, because those two tie-in books were kind of, like, just their own thing.
Yeah.
There have been references to, like a character or whatever from them, but nothing major that actually affects anything.
Yeah.
Which is nice, because, like, when you go to Marvel, it's like, okay, well, every book in our line is going to be kind of knocked off schedule for the next 5 months because of this shitty crossover we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's every year.
Yes.
Every goddamn
year. Which is why Marvel isn't doing all that great in the comics aspect.
Nope. Anyway, on to TV and movie stuff.
Ooh, TV.
Well, that's actually a movie. Kristen Wiig is going to be Cheetah, the villain of Wonder Woman 2.
Interesting.
I did see that, and you know what? I'm excited to see how she does, because she, as far as I can remember, I think her only action-esque movie was Ghostbusters, and I don't really know if that was even action-y. So.
Yeah, because she is mostly known for her comedy.
Yeah.
The weird thing is going to be, like, how they choose to pull Cheetah off. Because actually, I think, like, looking at Kristen Wiig, like, she looks like pre-Cheetah. I forget, Barbara Ann Minerva is the character's name. Like, she can pull off, like, scientist lady. Definitely.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know if you guys can see, like, that's Cheetah.
She looks like a cheetah, right?
Yeah. So, there's, like, two ways they could go with this. Because it's gonna be set in the 80s. So it could be one of those things where, kinda like Bane in, Dark Knight Rises, or any of those other weirder superheroes or supervillains, where they're just wearing, like, a suit instead of
being,
well, like, it's, mutated.
It could be, like, Rhino from...
Yeah.
From,
but, I mean, Rhino always just wore a suit.
I thought he was more...
He was just a really big
human. In the 90s cartoon, he was a big human, though. Like,
even in the comics, though.
Eventually, he got, like, a metal, like, robotic suit. Whereas before, he was a big human that could crush things. Then he got a robotic suit when it became, like, Ultimate Spider-Man and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that was a different Rhino, too.
Yeah, but
they
were
on Counter-Earth.
I'm just,
you can't, like, start mixing continuities like that. That's not how this works.
I'm just
giving a general... But your general is wrong, because they're two different people.
But
come on, now.
I'm just giving a general idea of using, like, with Bane, he wasn't mutated. He was just a buff guy that had this... mask that made him not feel pain, so that's why he was strong.
But yeah, so, like, it's the 80s, so, like, pleather and leopard print and stuff.
Yeah.
Not that weird, so she could just be, like, a villain who wears a lot of tight, like, leopard print, I guess in this case, cheetah print stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
like a pair of ears or something in her hair that looks like ears.
Yeah.
Or they could go the fucking unexpected route and actually make her some sort of weird half-cheetah, half-person thing the way Cheetah's supposed to be. Because she, if I remember correctly, she's basically cursed. Like, she was a normal person, she did something, got cursed, and is stuck like that with, like, a thirst for human flesh or something crazy.
Okay.
And she's kind of angry and hates Wonder Woman for various reasons.
Yeah, sure.
So, but yeah, like, I feel like that... That's an interesting casting choice, and I'm curious to see how that goes. Alright, so, there's a good deal of gaming stuff. I'm going to save the Nintendo Direct for last.
That's right, there was a Nintendo Direct. I forgot about that.
So,
but I did watch it.
So, this is, like, a smaller one. I'm not sure if I'll have a lot. Neil Druckmann has been promoted to Vice President of Naughty Dog.
Which is cool. Good for him.
I think he was previously the Creative Director.
Yeah.
So... he was in charge of creating all the games, basically.
Yeah.
And now he is even higher up in that company, which is actually kind of cool, because I don't know. He seems like a cool guy, and he seems to have, like, an interesting vision when it comes to games and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see what sort of stuff Naughty Dog does after Last of Us 2.
Because
I feel like at that point, they're probably going to go for maybe a different... I don't know whether it would be a different genre necessarily, but just, like, in a different direction again. Because you figure they went from, like, Crash Bandicoot to Jak and Daxter.
Yeah.
So, like, two sort of, like, 3D platforming games
mm-hmm.
to Uncharted and The Last of Us. And they haven't really changed up since then.
I mean, he might decide to get multiple teams to get more Crash Bandicoots out, or...
Well, they don't own
Crash Bandicoot, do they?
Activision does.
Stupid Activision. I hate them.
That they are probably making more Crash Bandicoot.
I know.
Specifically because of how well the NSYNC.
Well, I know we're not going to mention it, but, I mean, they're making... They are... I know, because we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but I know they're making a good decision by sending Crash Bandicoot to the Switch, because now I'm more inclined to get it than I was before, so...
You're not wrong. But, again, Naughty Dog would have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So... but, yeah, that's actually pretty cool. What's not cool is Days Gone got delayed till 2019.
Not surprised.
Oh, no, not even a
little
bit.
Is that zombie one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never, Sam Witwer. Mm,
the one that looked cool 4 years ago when they first started showing
it's
it.
It's only been announced for like two.
Yeah, two or three.
Probably. I want to say not last year's E3, but the E3 before. Yeah, was the first debut.
The first trailer I remember of them or showing maybe, it was like in that farmhouse area.
Yeah, with like the horde coming the roof and
which
everything.
It looked really cool. And then I see it all over Facebook, some people showing that trailer. And I'm like, yeah, this looks really cool, but it's supposed to come out this year and I'm excited.
They never said it was that year.
I thought, this year. I've been seeing it, like, the end of last year, and I knew it was supposed to come out in 18. You know,
I don't think there was ever any sort of date given.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think people speculated it was going to be 2018, and now it's just confirmed to be 2019.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the game still looks, like, conceptually neat, but I feel like it's going to be one of those things where by the time it does come out, it's not going to do as well.
It's
going
to be dated. And that's the big problem that I have with like E3 is that they announce things so early. Like, I don't need to know that Days Gone is coming out in 4 years. Let me know when it's coming out next year.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, they really should announce stuff like that within like a year of...
2 years tops. Like, I'll give them 2 years.
Even that, I mean, like...
But that's pushing it a bit. Because that's building up too much hype. And then people are just going to be like, oh, I saw this at E3 2 years ago, and okay, whatever.
I mean, look at, like, Detroit Become Human. Like, at this point, that thing has been shown on stage, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
And now it's finally coming out, and it's like, well, like, I still think the game looks neat, but at this point, like, it's kind of been simmering so long that I have less interest in it.
It was like that with The Division. The Division, they showed 3 years straight before they launched it, and every year, I was a little bit more excited for it each year, but then at the same time, I was like, when somebody would remind me, like, oh, they showed that last year. Remember, like, oh, wait, they did. That's right. Oh.
Hey. Well. You know what? Speaking of the Division, Division 2 got announced.
I never even played Division 1, so.
Division 1 was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I wanted to get it.
I got let down once they took, like, the second screen app thing out originally. Oh, right. Because it was originally going to have, like, oh, well, you're not by your system, but you can log in and play as a drone from your phone or whatever while you're partied up with your friends.
Right, that did actually seem like it would have been really cool.
And then I heard it was actually okay with kind of a just bad endgame grind.
Yeah, I didn't finish the game, but I played a bunch of it, and it was actually really cool.
It's like it's a pseudo kind of Destiny clone. So
well, it's a third person cover shooter.
Yeah.
It's really nothing like Destiny other than the loot grind, I guess.
The concept of the loot grind and that, like, it's a third person cover shooter, yes, but it's got, like.
It's third person cover Destiny.
Yeah, it's Destiny, but it's not in first person.
But, like, I thought the concept of it was neat. Like, you're in New York City. They did a really good job recreating New York City.
Well, wasn't it an almost 1-to-1 scale?
No, it was scaled way down, but. You, like, having, especially at the time that this game came out, like, I was traveling to New York fairly often for work, that, like, I could look at a building and be like, I know where I'm at right now, and then navigate myself to where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like...
Without looking at the map.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't a one-to-one scale, but, like, things that are north of other things were north of things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were in the right places.
Even, like, Penn Station. Like, it looked like Penn Station. You go in there, like, it felt like Penn Station.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, they did a really good job with that. I'm curious to see how they do a second one.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be in New York again? Has the outbreak spread?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
At E3, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And then we'll get more information over the next four years.
Isn't that far away.
So. No, it's only like...
Hey, I'll probably most likely be home for E3 this year.
Right, because you're not doing Firefly.
Probably not.
You probably still won't watch any of it.
I'll watch it.
You won't?
No, because I'll actually be home to watch it.
Yeah, I actually saw, this isn't in news, but Microsoft announced the date and time for their press conference.
And that they're not doing a normal booth?
Yeah, this so year. They're basically gonna do what like all the other companies are doing, yeah, and stay set up across the street from the convention center, but then have a oh shit, what is their streaming service
Mixer.
Called? They're gonna have a Mixer booth on the E3 show floor where people can go and like play games and stream games and stuff.
Yeah.
So like they'll still have an E3 presence, but most of their stuff is gonna be across the street where they do their press conference.
At the Microsoft Theater.
Yeah.
Convenient that they sponsor a theater.
Yeah, like right across the street from where E3 is every year. Who would have ever thought? But yeah, they're doing it their normal area. The Monday of E3 week at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So there's that to look forward to. Phil Spencer will come out, drop some games on us. Maybe have a fun little reveal at the end.
Are you sure?
That's Ubisoft.
That's Ubisoft. Never mind.
And she didn't do it last year.
No.
I don't think they had anyone famous do it last year.
No.
I think they actually, because last year was when the guy cried when they announced Mario vs. Rabbids, or Mario plus Rabbids. The developer was like in the crowd, like tearing. Like it was actually really kind of endearing. Like he was sitting there with like tears in his eyes because you had Yves Guillemot and Miyamoto on stage together with like the blaster gun things from the game.
Yeah.
Like, showing the trailer and all, and this guy is, like, sitting in the crowd, like, with tears in his eyes, because that's, like, the game that he just spent, like, I don't know, 2 years working on?
Yeah.
So, take this with a grain of salt. Gabe Newell says that Valve is going to start making games again.
Alright,
Or, I'm sorry.
Is this...
They're gonna start shipping games again.
Is this the third time they said that?
No.
Okay, then I'll allow it, because they don't do threes. They promise threes, but don't do it. So if this is the third time, they would promise it.
You know what the funniest part about the threes thing is to me?
What?
So you have Half-Life 1 and 2. You know, uh-huh. We never got a Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Instead, they started doing the episodes.
Yeah, and
they
did episodes 1 and 2, and you don't get 3.
And then we never got a 3.
And you get Portal 1 and 2, you don't get 3. Yeah.
Instead, they do a bridge builder.
Team Fortress 1 and 2, no 3.
Yeah, but nobody wanted a 3.
I mean, Team Fortress 2 was huge, though.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but nobody wants a 3. Everyone wants to play 2.
Thanks.
But yeah, so like maybe Valve makes games again that aren't. So the last game that Valve put out was Dota 2 in 2012.
They're putting out the Dota card game.
I don't count that because it's just a card game based on Dota.
It's a game.
It's still a game. It's still something they're developing. It's a game still.
Like, it's a game that I didn't realize wasn't just free to play, like Hearthstone.
Yeah, so the way this card game works is you have to buy the game itself. So it's basically like, say you want to play Magic the Gathering. You buy the game with your starter deck.
Yeah.
Then you have to go in, and if you want more cards, like better like booster packs, you have to go in and pay real money for more booster packs to expand your deck.
Can I just play the game and unlock?
No, because you have to buy at least the starter deck.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're buying, from that. Well, then it's like every other card game, minus the fact that you have to buy the starter deck.
But not like Hearthstone. You never have to put a penny into it
again, minus the fact that you have to buy the starter deck. It's like every other card game.
Yeah, but like not a lot of people want to pay real money for like a game that up front. Like they'd rather get their starter deck and then like do like the microtransactions later.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And everybody thought this was going to be a free to play game with just microtransactions.
Yeah, no, I would never do that. Like if it's a card game, I want to try it out before I put any money into it. And I've never put any money into any online card game anyway. Exactly. So
this is maybe the most exciting news. The most exciting. Nintendo filed a Switch patent that includes the Donkey Konga drums.
Okay.
Actually,
Donkey Konga 2.
Donkey Konga 2. Donkey Konga was actually fun. Like,
I mean, it really doesn't mean anything.
I know.
But it's still...
I'm going to be the one that goes out there and says it. Donkey Konga was actually fun. I had it. I had two Konga drums and everything. I had it, and the hitting and the clapping, and it was fun. I liked it.
No, I mean, That was in the period where like Nintendo really was just trying shit, and it was actually that was one of the things that they tried, and it was weird. It didn't do great, but it was fun.
I won't be shocked if there's a Donkey Konga 2 that's done with the Labo.
Okay, that's even better.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Like honestly, if they're gonna do a Donkey Konga 2, although then again, they could charge just as much for the Labo version of Donkey Konga 2.
They could charge more because it comes with cardboard.
Yeah.
Well, instead of a peripheral, it comes with cardboard, so they'd be charging less than selling the controller, but they'd be charging more because they're selling the cardboard. So the game would probably end up, if they even make it half a game, they could probably still make 70, 80 bucks off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I would enjoy playing Donkey Konga on the Switch.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's just like,
fuck you, Drew, you don't like Nintendo.
I'm sure even if it's just as stupid as like using the two Joy-Con or not Joy-Cons.
No, they're called Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons, yeah. I don't know why I didn't think of Joy-Cons. Even if it was as stupid as using two Joy-Cons and one, two, and then clapping as
so. What you're saying is you want Samba de Amigo.
I don't know what that is.
That's the Maraca game from Dreamcast.
And honestly,
which is essentially what you just described doing.
Honestly, a sequel to that would be awesome and would work on the Switch because they have that 3D rumble thing. So I imagine, like, their accelerometers can probably...
Come on, Sega.
See all the good stuff that the Switch can come out with?
Look, I've never...
Samba de Amigo, PlayStation VR.
Yeah. Actually, that'd be cool, too, with Joy, with the... I'd buy that. Maybe. This is a rumor. We might find out what the release date or the reveal for Shadow of the Tomb Raider tomorrow. With maybe a release date of September.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if you guys remember, it was over a year ago now.
It was there, on...
Somebody snapped a picture over a guy's shoulder riding the train in Toronto or Quebec or something like that.
Yeah.
Of a dude on a laptop, and like the laptop had like a document on it that said Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Right.
So like it, and the studio working that's probably working on it is based in whatever Canadian city that happened.
I want to say it's in Quebec. Montreal.
Yeah. Oh, Montreal. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. So I mean, like that seems to be the name, unless they changed it since then, and it's been 3 years, I think, since Rise came out.
No.
2 years.
Yeah, because it was... Probably. It came out on...
No, it came out November. Well, almost. It's been over 2 years. November 10th, 2015.
Yeah, it was Xbox exclusive for 6 months, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was
a year. It was a year, okay.
And I thought that was 2016, and then it came on PS4 last year, but...
Nope.
Move it back a year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's been like 2.5 years since Rise came out, and I know just Tomb Raider was 2013.
Yeah.
So like we're on path that like the next one should be coming.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw exactly how this news came out.
No, I did not.
So they put up a teaser website with a countdown that they fucked up, and in the HTML for it was everything you needed to know about it. Like the name, the release date. It was like, oh, cool.
Hey, like, I mean,
somebody's not good at making websites.
No, like,
or maybe because it's a mock site, they just don't care.
Like, no,
if it's just a countdown site that.
Well, I mean, that's sort of thing. Like, if the countdown site for a reveal, you don't put all that stuff in the code.
And this countdown was supposed to go till April 27th, I think.
Like, it was supposed to
be
another
month and a half.
All right.
It was supposed to be like a 45-day countdown or some shit.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it was just in the code for the site, and it was like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That it is.
Yeah.
Also, when we're done, remind me to clap before I stop recording, because I just realized I didn't do that, so I have no way to sync this shit up. Behind the scenes. So, Rich, you'll have to explain this one, because I don't fucking know. Monster Hunter World Devil Ho DLC. Okay,
So Monster Hunter World this morning, well, it was 8 o'clock at night Japan time, so it was 7 o'clock this morning, they had a live stream event. Yesterday, the...
1 second. I just want to say, soon as Monster Hunter came up, Drew leaned back and pulled his phone out.
No, I saw other news on this, too, today.
Yesterday, they announced the Devil May Cry compilation stuff. So you get Dante's armor, and you can even get his weapon, which is the weapon they call what's it, the Charge Blade. Yeah, it's the Charge Blade. So he gets like he has a little runic shield.
Don't they already have a Charge Blade in the game?
Well, no. Like his weapon is a Charge Blade.
Oh, so like that's what it matches.
It's what it matches to. So like the Charge Blade has a shield, but since Dante doesn't have a shield, he just has runic circles around his wrist.
Do you get ebony and ivory?
It's gonna be an emote that you can buy. And same with Ryu, you could buy the emote for Hadouken, and they probably do a little bit of damage. So Hadouken did 16 points of damage if you hit a weak spot. So Ebony and Ivory, they shoot sideways, so you might be able to shoot things on your sides, but you have to buy it as an emote. All DLC that's emotes and things like that, all cosmetics are pay, all monsters and items and equipment are free. So they announced Devil May Cry yesterday, which is cool because it's Charge Blade and you can turn it into Alistair, and it's really neat mechanics. And the awesome thing, the thing that they didn't do with Aloy, Aloy is a complete set. You can't mix it up, mix and match, and use different pieces. Dante, the hair is a headpiece. The cloak is a chest piece. It's all separate sets.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
If the armor is like works for one of your sets, you can mix and match. Then today they had the live stream where they redebuted that. They announced the release of Devil Joe, which will be next Thursday on the 22nd. And then additional, they're doing their first seasonal event in April 4th through the 22nd, I believe. It's a 2-week event. I can't remember the exact date on it, but it's gonna let you go back and do any of the events that you missed. So any event items that you couldn't get because you never finished it. So I might be able to actually go back and get Ryu because I haven't. Any like events that'll help you get the gold largest and gold smallest monsters, you can redo those. And just like there's like other special things. They're changing the layout of the guild hall. So just, it's a seasonal event, so it's a neat, silly thing. They are also, I'm trying to remember everything that they did. They announced the balancing issues that they were they balanced a bunch of different weapons, so they made certain attacks stronger, certain weapons weaker, whatnot like that. Completely respect. I started using the longsword at first, now using the greatsword, and the greatsword playstyle is different in this one than it's been in previous. So they're rebalancing that to where, like, using it like the original playstyle is just as useful as using it with the new playstyle. So like just different weapon balancings and stuff like that. And then they had a fan create weapon contest. And so they're making that an event quest in a couple of weeks where it's a great sword, but it has a rocket engine on it. So like when you go to charge it and swing it, rocket like fire comes out the side and it's really cool looking. I'm excited to get it. It's going to be the strongest great sword in the game. And that's just going to be event quest for probably 2 weeks that you have to do to get it. I don't know what else. I don't think they've announced anything else.
They're patching out the griefing that people could do.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I saw there.
People. I don't play with randos often enough to get this. But if you go to carve a monster after a thing, somebody could do an emote to kick you or something like that.
They could hit you.
Well, yeah, they could hit you in general or do an emote to kick you or just blow up a bomb or whatever so that you wouldn't be able to carve. It's only 3 carves, so it's not that big of a deal, but it's still an issue.
Yeah.
But it's something that we've like had to deal with all Monster Hunters. This is the first one. It's so highly online that it's a big issue. So they're patching that out to where when you go to carve, you have armor against, like, I believe probably just ally things.
I want to say the thing I was reading said all damage.
It says all damage, but...
But I don't know what else that would be attacking you at that point at the end of a quest.
If you cut the tail off, you can go carve it before the monster's dead.
Well, was saying specifically at the end of a quest. Well, all of this applied?
It might be at the end of the quest. Because it was all in Japanese, so I didn't really read it all out. Like, I'd have to go and read through the transcripts and everything. But all I know is that now you're not going to be able to get knocked out of your carving.
Yeah.
So people are happy about that. I didn't experience it that much. Yeah, it's the only thing I'm excited for this update, but I'm also a little let down because I had said last week that we had expected Devil Joe to come out last week. He's now coming out next week, and he's the only monster in the DLC as far as we know. Like, they haven't announced any furthers, which is a letdown because Monster Hunter World has 31 monsters, including Devil Joe now. Monster Hunter Generations had 45. Monster Hunter 4 had close to 50.
At launch?
At launch.
Okay.
Now, I will say, some of them were like the Tigrex, the Brute Tigrex, the Molten Tigrex. So they were essentially the same skin, but with different, like, coloration to it and whatnot. But each thing is harder, and each thing has different armor sets. So there's a little bit more work, because they have to make different armor sets and things like that. Plus, on top of that, Monster Hunter Generations had 40 small monsters. So, like, the little bugs and raptors and things like that you can fight. Whereas Monster Hunter World has 13. So, like, it's just, I'm like, I'm not upset at the amount of monsters. I'm just like, I need more. You're
underwhelmed.
I need more. I'm getting to the point where I'm fighting the same thing over and over. And once I reach 100, if I have all my gold crowns and I have all my trophies, I'm going to be done for a while. Until, like, more DLC comes with more new monsters. Because Devil Joe's great, but I want to see other monsters that are my favorites. Tetsukabra and Kezu and things like that. So, yeah, I was excited for it. I hope they add more monsters soon. I mean, it's going to be new armor as well. I know it takes a lot to put in a new monster in this game. Because even Devil Joe will even fight monsters that come in and use them as weapons. So there's a lot of animation. I understand it has to go into making these new monsters. It's just like, come on, guys, give us
something.
Give us something other than just one monster every 3 months.
Well, we got our last thing in news, unless you added anything else.
No, I do have one thing, because actually both of you might need it. Twitch announced their free games for Twitch Prime for the next 2 months. Super Hot is back in there.
It's all PC though, right?
Yeah.
Which does me no good. I don't have anything that can play it, and I don't plan on buying a gaming PC ever.
I mean, just play Super Hot.
I want to get it for
run on whatever.
The thing is though, do you have My Prime? Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
Then you can get these games for free, no matter what. Whatever.
Yeah, it's just on the Twitch.
You say that,
and you're the guy who doesn't fucking do the thing for PlayStation Plus half the time.
I check it every month. Now, I didn't when I first got PlayStation Plus. I do now. When they first started doing, like, the PlayStation Plus games, yeah, I'd forget to look.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where, like, I downloaded the PlayStation ones because I have those consoles.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like PC gaming. So, like, to even bother getting them is just kind of one of those, like, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I have an Amazon Prime account. I probably won't remember to get them either. But it's one of those things just to let you guys know, like, if you have a Prime account, there's two things you need to know. Number one, you're getting these free games from Twitch Prime. And number two, if you didn't know this already, you get a free subscription to any Twitch stream a month.
Well, it's any Twitch partner. It has to be somebody that it can actually be subscribed to.
Yeah. Any Twitch partner a month. You have to resubscribe every month, but that doesn't mean you have to resubscribe to the same person. So this week you can do Geek and Sundry, next month you can do somebody else, a month after that you can do someone else, and so on and so forth. So those are things that, like, I've been learning from watching Critical Role, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe people should learn this stuff.
And I do subscribe to channels on Twitch with that.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to do that.
I've been meaning to do Geek and Sundry, but you know what? They make so much money already, it's probably not a big deal.
I do it because, like, if I don't do it, then, like, it's just not getting done. And it's one of those things where, like, If I ever thought that I would want to play a game on a PC enough to actually spend the kind of money that I would need to build a PC, like, yeah, I would totally do it, but I would much rather play every game on a console.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure Super Hot's on PSVR.
So, Super Hot VR is a different game.
Oh, is it actually different?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean, there are same concepts, but it's a different story.
Oh, okay.
So it's a Super Hot. So for the rest of March, it's Super Hot, Shadow Tactics, Oxenfree, and then two games I haven't heard of, Mr. Shifty and Tales from Candlekeep, Tomb of Annihilation.
I see Mr. Shifty. That game actually looks kind of neat.
And then April, there's Tokyo 42 and Dub Wars that I've not heard of either of those. But then Tales from the Borderlands, Kingsway, and SteamWorld Dig 2.
Wow. Super Hot is actually a PSN game also. Super Hot and Super Hot VR. So both of them are on PS4.
So. But yeah, Super Hot and Super Hot VR are different games.
Yeah, and they are actually, like, both on here. So, there's that.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the Twitch Prime stuff for the next 2 months.
And like SteamWorld Dig 2 is one of those games, like, I think I'd rather get that on like the Switch if I was going to get it. Just because like that seems like a good like portable game, like sit on the couch and play that while you're watching TV. So there was a Nintendo Direct last week.
Yes, there was.
There was.
Did you guys watch it?
I did.
No.
Holy shit. Richie watched something.
It was on All's at Work. If it's on All at Work, I'll watch it.
Well, you kind of watched it if you listened to the Beastcast.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard I know everything about it.
Just me. I don't remember. I only remember like 50% of it, but I did watch it. And so, the stuff I do remember, I'm pretty excited about.
So here's the rundown. Couple 3DS things were announced. WarioWare Gold is going to come August 3rd. Don't.
I've never really cared about WarioWare.
WarioWare is broken.
It's just.
Says the guy that likes Monster Hunter and Transformers.
You're the guy who complains about not wanting to play games that are just a bunch of mini games, and then you're excited for the game that's just a bunch of mini
micro games.
Even worse.
No, they're like 2 second games. I never said anything against mini games.
You've said you don't want to play games that are just a bunch of mini games.
No, I don't want to play like games where like you have to do the stupid mini games inside of them. Like, I don't want to go, like, do, like, the crafting stuff in, like, MMOs.
No, you've legitimately said, I can't remember what game this was about, but you've legitimately said, like, why would I buy a game where it's just a bunch of minigames? And why am I don't want to play games that are just a bunch of minigames, or, like, if I could remember specifics, I would, but you've said that before.
I don't think so, because I own a bunch of them. I don't like many of them. Like, I didn't like that Nintendo Land thing that a lot of people seem to enjoy on the Wii U.
I thought that game was awesome.
I thought all of those things were fucking boring. But the original WarioWare on Game Boy Advance was great. Because it was like little like 5 second games. And they were super quick. And it was just an easy way to kill time. And this is basically... It was Mario Party 100 that came out, I think, last year.
Yeah.
It was the 100 best Mario Party games.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is. It's the top one, or it's the top, I don't know, 300 micro games in a single package.
Okay.
So it's going to be a mixture of old games and new games, which is why it's on 3DS, because you're going to need the touch screen for, like, the WarioWare touch.
Yeah, and the microphone.
Right, I forgot about the microphone.
There were ones where you had to, like, blow stuff off or whatever, like, blow out a candle or something.
Yeah. Then there's going to be Dylan's Head Heat Breakers. Which, no clue.
Yeah, no.
It's the latest entry in Dylan's Rolling Western series.
I feel like they're, like, games geared for kids. I can't even remember, like, looking at the game that they were showing, and I'm just...
This one's also kind of cool. Mario and Luigi's Bowser's Inside Story plus the Bowser Jr.'s Journey.
Yeah.
I never got to play it, but I know that Mario and Luigi series is supposed to be really good and people really like it.
Yeah, I've played Mario and Luigi games and I've liked them. I never played Bowser's Inside Story though, so I can't really comment. But it looks fun. It's
supposed to be sometime in 2019.
Yeah.
And then Luigi's Mansion is getting a 3DS remake.
I'll get that.
The original GameCube game.
I'll get that.
So it's been a long time since I played it. But for some reason, like, and I don't know if it's just like a nostalgia thing, but I remember liking that more than I ever liked Dark of the Moon, or Dark Moon, whatever the 3DS one was called.
I never played the 3DS one, so I wouldn't be able to say, but I loved Luigi's Mansion.
The 3DS one was actually really good, but it was like this weird, like, level, not even level-based. The way the game was broken up was just strange to me, and I feel like in my head, the original was more, like, open.
Yeah.
The consensus pretty much was with you on the original being the better game.
Yeah, because I do remember, like, the second one, like, you went to multiple mansions and Luigi ended up being, like, a ghost hunter person instead of just, like, the one mansion.
Well, so you're just in the one mansion, but you go to different wings of the mansion, which end up being, like, different levels.
Okay.
Yeah, it was weird. It was good. Like, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, Switch news. Some of the stuff we already knew about. Mm-hmm. Okami HD is coming to the Switch this summer.
Yeah, I played like 2 hours of it on PS2 and I really liked it. I don't know why I stopped playing it.
I don't know why. That's another one of those games, like, I never played it, but I just don't understand why it just keeps getting remade on every fucking generally.
People seem to really like it. I mean, that art style is fairly unique.
I know the game looks really cool.
The art style is really unique, and like the gameplay itself is like what I remember from when I played it back then. It was really fun, and I only had a couple of hours in, like two powers of in the entire game. So it's and it's a game about a dog. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. Hey, look, if you want to play a game about a dog, play that Dog's Story or Dog's Life.
Is it a sad game?
I believe it's the one where at the end your dog walks into a hot dog grinder.
No, then no. Wait, no.
Wait.
You don't want to play that game.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember them playing this. I feel like Rory played this on a UPF or something.
So I don't think it's like the canon ending, but one of them because I remember the game getting returned at GameStop because of it.
Wait, no. Go back into that.
Hang
go
on.
Back into that. No, I think you get turned into cat food.
Oh, that's possible. Where'd you see that at?
Eventually it is revealed that Miss Peach's head of a cat food company is arranging for dogs to be caught and smuggled into a factory where they will be made into her pet food.
No, I don't know. I'll play Okami.
The fuck!
Yeah.
I'll play Okami. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's a game. What was that, like 2006? Oh, wow, that's earlier than I thought. 2004 in America. Man. PlayStation 2, guys.
Yeah, no thank you.
Dark Souls is going to have an amiibo?
Yeah. It's GameStop exclusive and already sold out.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
There's also going to be a public, or I don't know if it's a public or not, there's going to be a network beta test on May 25th.
Yeah, it is public. I believe it was public. It's open to everybody. So.
I don't know how Nintendo would do anything else because their network's a fucking broken pile of garbage, so...
I'll download it. I'll try it.
Sushi Striker, The Way of the Sushido on June 8th.
That game looks stupid fun. Like, it's one of those games that, like, if I can get it for $5-$10 and just... Because it's one of those, touch screen.
$65.
No, it's a DLC only. It's a download only game.
Okay, sure, so 30. So.
40 it's minimum.
Like, Snipper Clippers is a $30 game. Or it was, I believe. I think I paid $30 for it.
I thought you could get that in store channel, though, too.
Nope. Well, it's digital only.
I think you can buy a box for it,
but it's just a code inside.
If I can get that game for like $5 or $10, I might get it because I don't care what you think it's gonna cost. Just saying in general. Let me finish my damn statement.
No,
it looks stupid fun enough to where like I could take it out and just play it on the go and then stop it and whatnot. Like
yeah, and unfortunately it'll never
big
be
enough
that
to be cheap. On a Nintendo Direct. It'll never be less than $25 ever.
Like, even if you go in and look at Wii titles right now, any Nintendo stuff that like Nintendo was actually behind, it's still $20+.
Yeah,
like for no good reason. Octopath Traveler though, July 13th.
And they showed what was it? Two more jobs?
Yeah. I forget what they were though, and they don't say them right in front of me, do they?
No.
Oh, a merchant named Tressa and an apothecary named Alfin.
And they also announced that you can multiclass in that as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't really too... When I played the demo back in the summer, September when they had a demo? I was just like, about it.
Oh, see, I thought that demo was super cool.
It's a demo for an RPG, and I wasn't really ready to get into as much as they were throwing at me. Like, I wanted a quick demo, maybe like 20 minutes. It felt like 45 minute long plus demo.
I think it was about an hour per character.
Yeah, and
depending
there were two
on how
characters.
Much time you spend in it.
So I was just like, I bit more than I could chew when it came to China, because I just wanted a quick thing. So
yeah, but with an RPG, either you get a demo that doesn't show you enough. Like, if you get a short demo, it's not going to show you enough of, like,
the mechanics
of the game.
I was more so I wasn't sure what I was expecting, but I was more so expecting, like, just, like, combat. And then, here's how the gameplay is. It gives you the intro story of both characters.
Okay.
To me, it was like a slow burn because I just wanted to get into it to see what this game was.
But it's an RPG, so you have to remember, like, that game is the story. So yeah. To just show you combat wouldn't really be doing it justice.
Yeah.
By giving you an hour's worth of the game.
Well, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, so this is how our storytelling works. This is sort of,
mm-hmm.
what it's going to be about.
Yeah, and it was for me at the time. I was like, I didn't want to look at. I didn't really. When I tried demos, I don't want to try the. I wanted to see if I'm going to have fun playing it before I want to see the story.
Which is fair.
Totally makes sense. Wouldn't actually. I don't think that would ever work for an RPG because that you could be like, okay, it's turn-based combat.
Yeah,
I've done this before.
I like.
Like, the combat was had some cool features to it, but, like, a game like that, you know, the combat's only a small portion of the game.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They also had Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes.
Which, okay, I could...
Yeah, another No More Heroes. I like, the original one on Wii was neat for what it was.
I never beat it, I've always wanted to, and, like, I've started it several times, and I just never really finished it. It's a cool concept of a game world and stuff like that, so this is even cooler, I think.
I think that might have been the end, at least until the very end, of new stuff. Everything else is basically ports. So, we have Captain Toad Treasure Tracker on July 13th from the Wii U.
But I think they're adding a bunch of stuff.
They're adding a New Donk City themed location.
Okay.
But so otherwise, it's the same game.
Okay.
Undertale.
Yeah.
Which Undertale is actually really cool, and that's the Switch is a good place for it.
Quickly, the Captain Toad is also coming out on 3DS.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I missed that on there.
Yep.
Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Coming out in July.
I'm more inclined to get it for the Switch than I am to get it for, like, any of the other systems, because I feel like that's a game that I, like, if I'm on vacation, I'm going to want to play it, because I want to, like, play it real quick and then put it down.
Yeah. Little Nightmares, which is actually a cool puzzle game. That I have it on PS4.
Okay. Okay.
And this is going to be the complete edition, and it's coming out in May.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, there's included DLC that you unlock by scanning the Pac-Man amiibo.
Yeah. South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Which, it's kind of a bummer that they're not bringing both of them over, The Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole, because people seem to like The Stick of Truth better.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, The Stick of Truth is older, so I guess... Try and get the newer game out and see if people buy it on there or not, since it's already been out for a while.
Yeah. So there's going to be an ARMS tournament, which I'm sure all of us are super thrilled for.
Look, I honestly still want to get ARMS.
I have it downstairs.
Like, you bought it? I thought you rented it.
I mean, I bought it, but I didn't really pay money for it.
Okay.
Hyrule Warriors, Definitive Edition.
See, here's the thing. I got Hyrule Warriors, and I bought the season pass.
No, now you can buy it a second time.
And I can buy it a second time.
For the same price you bought it the first time.
But actually, it'd be cheaper than when I bought it for the first time, because I bought Hyrule Warriors plus the season pass for $20.
Yeah, that's true.
And honestly, I never really played it. It had some cool concepts with the whole map of the original Legend of Zelda on it, but I just... I beat the game, it's like any other Dynasty Warriors game. After I beat the game, I was kind of just done with it.
That's why those games aren't worth the money. Like, because, like, unless you're super into just doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm.
I think if I were to get it now, I'd be more inclined to do more because I'm not buying a new game every other month.
That's fair. Mario Tennis Aces still looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and they showed off, like, a little bit of, like, a story mode. Some of the, like... this power swings and things like that, like some neat ideas, like, oh, you can actually take out the person in, like, your first round if you're good enough at breaking their racket, because they have to forfeit if it breaks.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
And it's going to be released in June 22nd.
Yeah.
Splatoon 2 is getting a version 3, like some paid DLC, stuff like that, and like some sort of, like, the DLC is like a single player mode.
Yeah,
not single player mode, but single player levels. So.
Yeah, there's gonna be like single player levels, and you play as an Octo Girl instead of a Squid Girl or something like that.
Octoling is what they're called.
Octoling, yes.
And then Smash Brothers.
Yeah, which I 100%, like, I even said last week, I thought it was going, their big announcement was going to be Diablo 3, but no, yeah, it's Smash Brothers, which I'm like, okay.
The only thing, like, that no one's sure about is whether it's a new Smash Brothers or just, like, a deluxe version of the Wii U one.
Here's the thing. If you look at the case, I can't remember who brought it up to me, but if you look at the case for Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U, it's Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. That's the title of the game.
Yeah.
This is just called Super Smash Bros. So, that might be what they're doing from now on, since they generally...
It's, I to be fair, it's not titled anything. They showed was Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. But generally, since they release a console, they're probably just going to be sticking with the naming scheme of Super Smash Bros. And just, it's going to be a new game. Like,
well, I mean, we can hope, but like, if you also look at it, like, Super Smash Brothers on the Wii U came out in 2014.
Yeah.
I believe Brawl came out in 2008.
Yeah.
Like, there are usually big gaps between these games, and
yeah,
while 4 years is more than enough time to make a new one, I'm just curious if that's actually the case or not.
But also, what the fuck is the difference, really? Like,
yeah,
well, that's the thing. Like,
there isn't much of one.
The difference comes if they make a new Super Smash Brothers for the Switch.
But in what way?
If I'm buying Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U on the Switch, I have all the characters for Super Smash Bros. On the Wii U. And I still have my Wii U, so I can play it on the Wii U. And I have the GameCube connector, which we've already found out works on the Switch, so it's not really that big of a deal. I believe it works. I think that was a news
item. I actually think
so. I think you're right.
Like, if I'm buying the same game that I already have with all the DLC characters, minus the squid people, then in 2 years, a new Smash Brothers comes out where it's new characters and not all the same DLC that I had before. I'm gonna feel like I'm wasting my money getting the one that I already own everything
for. I'll give you that if that were to be the case.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, like, this is going to, as far as Nintendo's track record goes, this is the Smash Brothers game for Switch. There will not be another Smash Brothers until there's another console.
And that's what I'm,
I'm not saying that it's not a new game. I'm just saying that I wouldn't be surprised if it is just the Wii U version, and that if it is the only one that comes out for the Switch. Just because, like, there weren't that many Wii U sold, so there weren't that many copies of any Wii U game sold. That's why they're porting so many of them to the Switch.
Yeah.
That, while it would suck, they could get away with re-releasing it on the Switch with all the DLC already loaded in.
And if they do that, and then continue further with DLC for this one, with additional characters and maps and things like that, I'll be happy with.
Yes.
But if they then release another Smash Bros. For the Switch in 3 years, right before the next Nintendo console comes out, that's where I'm not going to be happy.
So, it wouldn't happen that soon, because I know the creator, I can't remember his name, of Smash Brothers, actually said that he is working on this one, and every time a new Smash Brothers comes out, he says that is his last. And then it proceeds to take, 5 to 7 years for a new one to come out.
Yeah.
So, like, if he is working to port this one and, like, add stuff to it, then we're probably not seeing another Smash Brothers for 5+ years.
Yeah, so I'll stand by what I said. If they come out with another one on this system and this is just a port, then I'll be hangry. But if this is its own thing on
the... Did you just say angry or hangry?
I think I kind of said hangry, but I just meant to say angry.
I like how you just assume I'm going to be hungry and angry.
Me, it's very warm in here, so I don't know.
I'm wearing two shirts, and I'm super comfortable.
I'm fat.
Fix it.
I'm trying.
Try harder.
Just found out last week that I'm back over 300 pounds. I'm trying.
You brought up Trey of brownies with
because
you.
Because 300 pounds again. Because I'm going on my diet, starting my diet this week, so I lived it up this weekend and made fucking brownies.
I was going to say, he brought like 4 brownies from an entire tray of brownies.
I made them on Sunday, so there's a reasonable amount of time to eat them. Plus, I had somebody over since Monday night, so...
So how many of them did you eat?
I mean...
All but one.
No, I ate a good amount of them, trust me. But, like I said, I was trying
to... Also, I've seen your dinners where, like, you literally make, like, 6 cheese roll-ups, which are just a tortilla and a handful of cheese.
Yeah, sometimes I just get hungry. Like, trust me, I was starving when I got home from work today, and I was trying to eat healthy, and I have, like, chicken and rice and whatnot, but instead I was like, I don't want to eat this. I'm really fucking hungry. So I made... pork roll and cheese, and then like a couple cheese roll-ups and french fries. I'm like, you know what? At this point, I'm like, let me get all this bad shit out of my house.
That's fair.
It sucks though, because the unhealthy stuff is more expensive. Or I'm sorry, the healthy stuff is more expensive.
Yeah, trust me, I know.
Like,
I'm spending at least, I'd say $30 a week just on fruit, because I'm eating an apple, a banana, and an orange a day, plus strawberry and banana yogurt that I...
So you only need an apple a day.
Yogurt's not good for you.
I get probiotic yogurt, and it's...
Look at the sugar count, though. Because that's what's hurting you.
I get sugar-free, or low-fat.
Low-fat's not low sugar. Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Carbs are different.
I'm just saying, like, look at the sugar content of the yogurt you're buying. Find the one with the lowest sugar content, because that's what's hurting you.
Yeah, it's... I'm trying to get back onto the diet that I was doing back when I lost all the weight a couple years back, and I was having yogurt every day, and that's...
So you're pooping a lot, is what you're telling me.
Well, Gotta get out all that poop weight, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was the news.
Yep.
Oh,
we did miss one thing.
What?
It's happened this morning / last night.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
I'm going to bring it up because it's sad. It sucks.
That's why I wasn't going to bring it up. Why do I want to be sad?
Because, I mean, you got to respect the man.
All right, go ahead.
The world's greatest mind, Professor Stephen Hawking, passed away in England last night. I believe it was at like 2 in the morning or something like that.
On Pi Day.
Sucks.
Yeah, it is a shame. I mean, considering the health issues he had, like, he was 76 years old.
He lived for 50 years with ALS.
Yeah, like...
That's amazing.
Like, consider, like, to have made it to 76 with ALS and, like, he had 76 isn't, you know, super old anymore with people that regularly live into, like, the 80s and 90s, but still, like...
It's above average, right around average life expectancy for normal, healthy people.
Yeah, exactly. When he was diagnosed with ALS, they said 2 years. But luckily, it progressed slowly. But then he even had, like, he had a tracheotomy where he had a tube stuck down his throat for the rest of his life because of an infection that he had. And that's why he couldn't talk. And it's just everything he overcame to live as long as he did. It's a miracle. So, I mean, it sucks. It sucks that he passed away. But you gotta pay homage to him.
Yeah, that is a shame. What a shitty way to segue now. Thanks, asshole.
I mean...
Way to not bring it up earlier and start the news with it, Cobb.
I kind of figured he might have said... Well, then you know what? Here, one more piece of news. This is more of a local news thing. It's a movie-related thing. They're doing casting calls for Creed 2. They're looking for about 70 to 80 extras because they're filming a handful of, like, boxing scenes. One of them actually being in Russia, where he's fighting Victor... Drago.
You have never seen Rocky, right?
I've seen 1, 2, and 3, but I was playing Monster Hunter at the same time with my group. So, like, we weren't...
Everything about
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is what I was going to input into my, what I did this week. So here's a segue. I'm going to start watching them all. And I want to watch them all.
Skip 5.
No, I'm going to watch them all. I know skip 5. I'm going to watch them all.
Don't do it to yourself.
I want to. It's just
no,
like...
No, you don't.
Look, I watched all the Fast and the Furious movies. I want to watch all the Rocky movies.
Even the worst Fast and Furious movie, 2, is still leaps and bounds better than fucking Rocky 5.
I know, but I want to watch them all.
Like, Rocky doesn't fight in Rocky 5 until the end when he gets in a street fight. The rest of the time, he has brain damage.
Yeah, I know.
He trains a douchebag for the whole movie.
And then he fights the douchebag at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to watch them all. I do. It's, like, something that's always been, like, people get mad at me at the movies I've never seen. Like, I've never really watched, I've never watched the Godfather movies.
Me either.
And I mean, people will, like, ask me, have you ever seen this movie? And I say no, and they're just, like, shocked and blown away. And I'm like, look, it's... I never really watched these older movies, and so I'm like, let me watch Rocky.
The first Rocky is good. It's slow. Like, it's a movie.
Well, yeah.
It's a movie of its time.
Yeah.
Same thing with the second one. Like, both of them are pretty slow. 3 and 4 are very much 80s movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's montages. Mm-hmm.
I remember the Apollo Creed running on the beach with short shorts montage.
Hugging at the end.
Like, yes, the heterosexual.
And honestly, Rocky IV has some of the best. Fucking Apollo Creed's entrance to his fight against Ivan Drago, one of the best scenes in cinema history.
Yeah.
He comes, like, riding down from the rafters while James Brown is singing, like...
And this is... That's the one where Mickey has a robot, right?
No, it's not Mickey.
Okay, somebody has a robot. Paulie has a robot.
Mickey, I think Mickey's dead.
Mickey dies on in
Mickey's
three.
Mickey's dead. Yeah, he dies in three.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, because he dies at the beginning of three, and that's why Apollo trains him in three so that he can take on Mr. T.
Because
Clubber Lang.
Like, he loses in Rocky One, right?
Technically.
He loses in Rocky One, and then Rocky Two is the movie where he then wins, and then Rocky Three is where he's all famous and doing, like, the charity matches and stuff.
Yeah,
then Mr. T kicks his ass.
Yeah, I want to say it's Apollo tells him it's because you lost that Eye of the Tiger. And that's when they start playing the song.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. See, I've seen the first three. It's just I was doing something else, I want to, like, actually watch them now.
Yeah, but four is where they get Pauly a robot. They live in a mansion and everything.
Yeah.
Apollo dies because Ivan Drago is a fucking monster on steroids. Yeah.
And then they have that ridiculous speech after the fight with Rocky and Ivan. Like, Rocky is, like, saying, like...
Rocky's victory speech.
His victory
speech. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you meant.
And that's the one where... Because I've seen...
brain damage. Like, of course it's fucking incoherent.
That's the one where he has the training montage in the snow, right?
Yeah, like the side of a mountain.
I've seen that one. I've seen the training montage.
Yeah, it's great. Rocky Balboa is a fucking sleeper, too. That one is actually really good.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
And the fact that, like, they actually filmed it at a real boxing event in Las Vegas is just the coolest fucking thing.
Yeah.
Especially because the whole crowd apparently was actually cheering for them.
Yeah.
So, like, when he starts coming out, everyone starts cheering, Rocky! Rocky! Yeah. Like, without being... Like, all the producers and stuff were hoping was that people didn't boo them. So they didn't have to, like, overdo it or, like, overdub it in post or anything.
Yeah. But they're doing open casting calls for Creed 2. Like I said, they need 70 or 80-something people. It's, like, castinghl.com is the casting. It's Hiram and Loftus, I believe, is the agency. And it's, like, their questions are basic. Like, can you do multiple days? Do you have a car? Do you live locally? What's your phone number? And send us a picture of yourself that's at least 6 months. It's 6 months old or younger. So I'm going to try that.
Good luck.
I'm trying to be on Rocky. It'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, you would just be an extra in the background.
You know what?
Like Chris Pratt in those Super Bowl commercials.
I could still... Being an extra in the background could still get the SAG. And
you need a certain amount of lines to get a SAG card.
Yep. Well, and being an extra,
If everybody that was an extra got the SAG card, almost everyone in America would be a SAG member.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you need, like, a certain amount of lines and stuff in order to get it.
Yeah.
Like, there are actually, like...
Though I think it is actually, like, literally two lines.
Yeah, like, it's not a lot, crazy.
But you have to have a speaking role.
Yeah.
What else have you been doing?
Let's see. What else did I have to say?
My God, did you take notes?
I just was reminding myself what I did this week.
Like, he took notes.
Like, number one, like, this was today while at work, because I just didn't feel like doing any work at the time that I did this.
I took notes.
The first one is, like, obviously, I played more Monster Hunter. I was going to, like, I was surprised you included the Monster Hunter, like, live stream in the news. I was going to mention it here. So I'm shocked.
What was now, news, and I figured you were going to bring it up one way or another, so it was either just fucking at it.
So there's, I basically just watched a bunch of stuff. I caught up on some shows. I want to complain about Flash real quick. Flash this week was the episode where, it was a really cool episode, because it all took place within, like, 5 minutes of itself.
That was last week.
Well, yeah, last week, that's what I mean.
This week was actually, it wasn't bad, it was weird, though.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't need a season 5 setup. I feel like that's all that episode was a season 5 setup.
Why is that?
Because they were introducing a terrorist agency and whatnot. I feel like it's not going to come into play the rest of the season. It's going to come into play next season.
I don't think they were really, like... I don't think that was necessarily set up. I think it was just, like, they needed a villain for that sort of thing to work. And because that was very much a... like, a concept episode that took place kind of, like, out of line of the rest of the story.
Well, yeah, and, like, at the point...
Which they need those.
Yeah, like, but where they're at right now, I feel like jumping out of the story like that, it was... They should. It just felt out of place to me, and it felt to me like it was a season 5 setup for next season's villains. That
now, like,
I'm just like, the, I'm like, eh, about.
The villain isn't gonna be a terrorist group. Like, you saw, like, other than the fact that he let the girl push the button, like, he cleaned up the entire terrorist group in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But they need those episodes that pull back from the story, because there's still shit going on in Central City. It's not like just everything.
Well, yeah.
It's not like the whole world stopped working because the big bad's around.
Yeah, I know. It took me, I was like a little like, eh, I just feel like I said, I just feel like it was a season 5 setup. If it's not, then great. But to me, I was like, if this is just mostly season 5 setup, I'm kind of like, yeah, I didn't really need it.
I would put money that it's not.
But besides that, I mostly watched just other stuff. I watched, there's a movie on Netflix. It just released within the past couple of weeks called Mute. Don't watch it. It was boring. Like, I know it's scoring higher than Cloverfield Paradox, but it's worse than Cloverfield Paradox in my perspective. It's barely scoring higher than Cloverfield Paradox, if I recall.
It has a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And a 35 Metacritic. So, I don't know.
I can't remember what Cloverfield Paradox
is. 17%.
Okay. So, basically, this movie has a neat concept, and the way I recall the trailers... The way I recall the trailers being, like, it made it more like an action thriller. But no. So, I'm just going to run down the quick story concept. Guy loses his ability to talk in a boating accident when he was go ahead.
The fan score for Mute is higher than the fan score for Cloverfield Paradox.
Not by much, though.
52 to 47. So.
I still think Cloverfield Paradox is better.
But fan scores are fucking stupid, so.
Yeah. So, let me lay out the scene. Guy loses his ability to talk when he was a kid by a boating accident because the propeller happened to just cut enough of his throat to cut out his vocal cords but not kill him. Oh, he's also Amish, by the way. Remember this. This is an important concept. Because it takes place in a futuristic German city. So there's technology all over the place. And he's Amish. And apparently he cleared his Rumspringa and didn't go back to his town. However, he still abides by the Amish of not doing technology and stuff. Because he has a girlfriend, he works at a bar, and he has sex with his girlfriend. They're absolutely not married, so that's completely against Amish tradition. And his girlfriend goes missing, so then he falls into the criminal the underbelly of the city, trying to find his girlfriend. This all could be solved if he would just answer the fucking text message that his girlfriend sent him after she went missing. But he won't, because it's technology. Oh, and Paul Rudd's in it, because I don't know why.
Why not? It's Paul Rudd. He can do whatever he wants.
He's amazing, but his scenes and the scenes I saw, because I only watched an hour of the movie, they don't coincide.
What if the remainder of the movie actually ties everything up neatly and it's like fucking amazing?
I'm gonna imagine no, it doesn't. No.
Look, maybe none of these people made it through the whole movie. I'm just saying.
Well, that would also be a problem.
Like I've seen like reviews, probably like fan reviews or might be professional, like just Googling it, where it's like it's more convoluted than Cloverfield Paradox. Like it is like. It's the first movie. I watched 45 minutes of it. I was just laying down watching it, and my cat comes and lays on my chest to where I now can't see the movie, and I look up at my friend I was watching it with and say, this sums up my interest in this movie.
Did you just read all of it?
So, here's the critic consensus on Rotten Tomatoes. Visually polished but narratively derivative and overall muddled. Mute is a would-be sci-fi epic whose title serves as an unfortunate guide to how it might be best enjoyed.
Yes! And look, here's the thing, like, it's directed, I believe, or made by Duncan Jones, who did, the Warcraft movie. He did, David Bowie's son. He did Source Code, the Warcraft movie. He did Moon. These are all, like, Warcraft, I don't know if it that did that well, but Source Code was a really cool movie.
I never saw that.
I liked it.
Was that the Jake Gyllenhaal movie?
Yeah, where it's like he's on the train and he has to figure out who blew it up. And then I've never seen Moon, but I heard Moon was really cool. This movie is just No, don't.
It happens.
Don't watch it. Don't watch it.
It's almost like Netflix has become direct-to-DVD slash VHS movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
But their TV shows are real good.
Yeah. Like, I literally, in my notes, I wrote, watched half of Mute. Because it's that bad. I then finished season 4 of Black Mirror. And I gotta say, the last 3 episodes that I had to watch, which were Hang the DJ, Metalhead, and what was it, Black Museum? Really cool episodes. Hang the DJ was probably my tied for number 2. What did I say? Yeah. Tied for number 2 with the USS Callister as the best of the season. Black Museum, the best episode of the season. Metalhead, I would say, was like a high number 3 or a number 4, I guess. And then Archangel and Crocodile were like the 2 worst ones. But yeah, I really liked Hang the DJ. It's got a neat like idea. These people, you're gonna watch it, so I'm not gonna really.
Yeah, don't.
I'm not gonna spoil the twist, like, because that's like the whole ending. But these people live in this world. They signed up to a program where it's trying to find their true match, like a dating thing. And so they get matched up with somebody, and they can click their thing, and it says how long their relationship has. And it's their first relationship was like 18 hours. Then the next ones they had were like a year, and it shows their life of this relationship and like how they interact. Like they get matched again later on, and it's a really cool episode. I actually technically watched it twice, but one time I fell asleep while watching it. So like I watched it back when it first came out back in January or end of December, and then now. Metalhead is really cool because it's filmed black and white, and it's kind of like a 70s, 80s monster movie, the way that it's filmed. It's only 49 minutes. If it were any longer, I probably wouldn't have liked it as much. But it's like, it was the right amount of time.
Yeah.
And I liked it for that. And just the way it filmed and the style that it was, it's just really neat. It reminded me of, the movie Evolver. It's back in 95.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's not too similar, but I don't want to explain Evolver because I don't want to risk like spoiling or saying too much about Metalhead. And then Black Museum was just really cool. It's very similar to season 2's Christmas episode where it's multiple stories and it's just about like different criminal technologies that were used. There's even this isn't a spoiler. There's a throwback to the episode White Rabbit where it was the people and they had the shape on their face. And they were chasing it. It was like people were recording them trying to kill people.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was a weird fucking episode.
There's a throwback to that, which kind of shows that these are all in the same universe because it's got that outfit from the guy who had the shotgun and the ski mask with the upside down white Y on his face.
Okay.
So it's just like, it was a really cool episode and the end of it is just phenomenal. And that's actually got the girl who played Shuri from Black Panther. She did an amazing job in it. It's such a cool episode. So yeah, I already said what my labeling for best and worst this season were, and if I were to have to say so far best and worst of the entire series, I don't know if I can right now. I'd have to think about it, but yeah, I don't really know. There's a lot of cool episodes.
Well, that's right, because nobody asked you.
Well, I mean, if anything, I would say that Christmas special from season 2 and Black Museum were probably at top.
Yeah, that like, John Hamm episode was really good.
Those concepts of multiple stories are just really cool, because obviously they're going to find a way to connect them in some way, shape, or form, and it's like a neat concept where they blow your mind at the end. And then lastly, I watched Kubo and the Two Strings.
How was that?
It was really cool. Very pretty.
I've heard good things about it.
It was stop motion. And it was a very, like, pretty-looking movie. Like, you could tell it was stop-motion. It was a little jumpy from time to time. But, like, that adds to the aesthetic of it. And it's just, like, the story was neat. And it was, like, I could kind of see one thing that they kind of hide from you, like, from the get-go. But it was, like, it was a cool movie. I really liked it. I've been watching a lot of, like, scary movies and serious movies lately that I was, like, I need something just fun. And that's kind of what this was. It was just something fun to watch.
Cool.
Aside from that, I think that's about it.
How about you, Drew?
I finally watched Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho from Wrestle Kingdom.
Who?
Kenny Omega.
Did he do the Hadouken? He's the guy that does Hadouken, right?
Yes, he is that guy. No, he did not in this match.
What a disappointment.
Yeah.
That's all I know about him is he does the Hadouken.
It was a very good match.
Is Chris Jericho still actually a good wrestler?
Yeah, especially for being like 46 years old or whatever he is. He's still got it. He's my favorite of all time, so.
He was, like, I remember, like, watching in the 90s, like, he was always a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, he was still fun in this match. He was really playing into the fuck you, Japan. Like, I'm here to beat up Kenny Omega and I don't give a shit about you.
I remember seeing
so Access TV
videos of him like popping up, yeah, like and just like beating people up and then like leaving.
Well, like, and like Access TV doesn't censor stuff, so he gives the middle finger multiple times during the match to the crowd. Nice. In New Japan, they do like post match press conferences, and his press conference was just "fuck you, Japan." Just like whole time, he's just giving the finger to the reporters. He's like, "Yeah, don't think I'll be back. I'm gonna fuck all of you."
Is he not with the WWE anymore?
Not right now. He comes in, will sign like a 9-month contract, do something, and then go on tour with his band.
Is he one of those guys where, like, he is still a big enough name that, like, they'll just sign him anytime he wants to come back?
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, he just signs for a little bit, does stuff with Fozzy, goes and does whatever he wants, comes back when he feels like it. Like, in January, which that's when that Kenny Omega match happened, later in the month he showed up on the 25th anniversary episode of Raw. Just showed up wearing his New Japan t-shirt.
Nice.
Like, because he is who he is and he could get away with that. Like, wearing other company branded clothing that WWE makes no money on. They're just like, okay. I've played some Diablo 2 for reasons, Jesus, that I don't know. I can confirm I like Diablo 3 way better than I like Diablo 2.
But I remember when Diablo 3 first came out, you were actually in the opposite, weren't you?
No. I've always thought, I even thought Vanilla 3 was better.
I thought you still preferred 2 over 3, like, in the initial, like, year or two that 3 was out.
Probably for content-wise.
Yeah, maybe. But, what they've done to Diablo 3 since then with stuff and has made that 3 far and away better than 2. I do wish you could trade items in Diablo 3. Like, that's the one thing from Diablo 2 that's missing.
I never realized that. Like, you really can't just trade items, can you?
Well, they had the auction house originally. You could trade originally, and then they also had the auction house. And then when they took away the auction house, they just made all the set and legendary items account-bound. Except for if you're playing with people, you have, like, 2 hours that the people that were in your party at the time you got those items, you could trade them those items. But that's it.
That's weird.
Because I've been playing an assassin in Diablo 2 that uses their throwing star ability, which is just such a dumb build to do.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it. And you'll get in Diablo 2 when playing online, people that will just make a game just titled free shit or whatever. And you go in, and it's this like level 80 character that's just like, I got all this gear and I don't have any more room. Just throw it on the ground, pick it up, and leave. Like, throw a bunch of stuff on the ground and leave. And it's like, okay, cool. I got this random set item and this random high-level weapon or whatever. So I wish that was in Diablo 3, because I have so much stuff in Diablo 3 that I'm, like, at the point where it's like, well, if I play anymore, I don't have room to hold anything. If I could just give a bunch of this shit to random people with new characters, I would.
Yeah, because like, it's shitty to just like get rid of it altogether.
Yeah.
Because you'd spend time getting it. But I mean, like, giving it to somebody isn't as bad.
Yeah, like, they've done some things in Diablo 3 where you can disenchant the like special ability that a legendary item does, and at least you get that. But once you've done it, you have it for every character you make. You don't need to find it again and do it again. So it's like, oh, well, now I have three of them. But yeah, and then a lot of NHL 18.
Yeah, I saw you playing that the other day.
Yeah, because my brother's friends and friends of friends have all gotten it, and we're up to, like, I think we definitely have at least six people in our EA Sports Hockey League team.
Nice.
Because we played a full six-man game.
That's actually pretty cool.
Wow.
So a full 12-man game, because the other team had all six people, too.
Jesus.
So, that was a fun game.
How does that end up working out? Is it, like, as, like, you're not just one player?
Yeah, no, you're one player.
So, like, if your player is not on the ice, then...
Well, in that mode, your player doesn't come off the ice unless you get a penalty.
Okay, so it's not, there's no line changes or
no,
anything.
No, there's no line changes.
And if there's a penalty, are you just not in the game for 2 minutes?
Yeah. You're sitting in the penalty box. I mean, it's accelerated time, so it's more like 30, a minute.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you're just sitting there, you're in the penalty box, and you like see your stick in the corner, like you were holding it, and just watching the play go back and forth.
Can you like, should be able to like hit the glass and stuff?
That would be neat if you could.
Like, it should be first person view.
It is first person view.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
In the penalty box,
you can look back in the penalty box. Looking back and forth just goes with the puck. Okay. Like, you can't control it.
Okay. But it's still pretty cool, though.
And it is in the first person view.
Is it always in the first person view, or is it top down when you're playing first person view?
It's only first person view when you're in the penalty box.
Okay.
In the be a pro mode, where you're only playing as one player, and like there are still line changes, it'll go into first-person view when you're on the bench as well, between shifts.
Okay.
But yeah, so we've just been playing a bunch of that.
And sick.
It's fun playing. It's fun and frustrating playing with some of them, because especially two of my brother's friends who definitely don't know hockey as well as like me and my brother do, and
they're just going.
Is it like stupid stuff? Yeah. Like they're going offsides and things like that.
No, they're good with that for the most part. I mean, you know, every once in a while they'll get the like. It's more like they'll be the one carrying the puck up ice, and just before the blue line, they'll cut across, and it's like, oh, no one would actually do that. You had the room to get in and take it in. Instead, you cut across the ice, and that made me go offsides. Or, I was in the penalty box for one play, and it was just my brother and his one friend, and his friend was like constantly chasing the puck in the defensive zone, and my brother was like, fucking stop, I need you to be in one spot so I know where I need to be on defense. And it's just like, yeah, no.
I mean, part of that is probably like when you're playing, if you're used to playing a game like that, like where it's just you,
mm-hmm.
you do tend, like you end up switching characters a lot because you want to be whoever's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure it is weird playing that with like actual live people also on your team.
And, you know, it also, like, you know, in games where if we get a big lead, then it's like, whatever, fuck around. But in games that are real close late in a game, sometimes it gets frustrating with them. It's like, oh, no, stop just trying to be everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm awful at face-offs in that game. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Get the puck?
No, like there's no tip when you start your first game on how to win the
go. There is a training mode.
Yeah, I haven't really played much of it. I played like three games, like just quick games,
mm-hmm.
and that's the one thing I have no idea what I'm actually supposed to do to get the face off. So I just lost them all and just immediately like hit the guy to get the puck away from him.
Go to the training mode; it's pretty good.
Once I actually go back to that to like play it, I will just
because
like I know how to do everything else. It's just the face offs I'm not sure of. And that's just because that's one of those things where, like, I haven't gotten an NHL since 13.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I was bad at face-offs then, too, but I think they were different then. I think if you just hit in the direction, it would actually, like, send the puck to that player.
It's a little more, like, rock, paper, scissory in this one, with the... the different things you can do on the face-off. Like, it's been the same controls on the face-offs since they've gone to the engine they're stuff, on.
Yeah.
But now it's more like hard counters to things as opposed to just timing stuff and then kind of random.
That makes sense.
But yeah, that's about it for what I've done.
Right. Well, I played more Nier. That game is super weird.
Yep.
I unlocked fast travel though, which fucking makes it a little easier.
Nice. Jinx.
I also met Emil.
Okay.
Emil is an interesting fucking character. He's just ahead.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not really a spoiler because you don't understand why he's just ahead, but he's just ahead.
Okay.
He's a shop.
Okay.
Which if you look at the trophy list, like, you find that out. But he's like a wandering shop.
Oh.
And he plays a song.
Oh, okay, right. They talked about him on the Giant Bomb stuff.
And like at least the first time that you find him, he's on the map. So like you see like this head on the map moving around.
Okay.
And so like I went to it, and like as you get closer, you start hearing this music playing. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Some of the side quests are really weird in that game.
Yeah.
And some of them, like, I see how that game made people think a lot, because I'm already starting to see, like, the weird sort of, like, philosophy, like, choice things coming up, and I'm only about halfway through the story.
Okay.
And apparently, like, it gets way weirder as you get into more playthroughs.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Next time you play, I don't know if you ever did this, when you get to the title screen, if you just let it kind of sit there for a minute, it plays a like a cinematic.
Oh.
That it's basically like a trailer for the game.
Okay.
But it shows a bunch of stuff, and like I saw that, and I'm like, I am way more interested to see where the fuck this game is going and how it got to those things.
Hmm.
Because I think you left off, are you still at the same place you left off? Like the last thing you did was the Goliath?
Yeah, I never got around to, I was poking around in the amusement park, but okay. I didn't get anything more done in there, really.
So your next story mission is the underground.
Yes.
Which, that's actually fairly short. It is, like, a bossy thing, though.
Okay, yeah.
It's not hard, but that's pretty easy. And then the next thing you do is you have to go to the Forest Kingdom.
Okay.
That's an interesting place to go. It's a really cool sequence when you get to the castle. Because you know how the game does that, like, perspective thing where, like, sometimes it's, like, a side-scroller, uh-huh. Sometimes it's just, you can go where you want. It changes from that, like, a bunch. Like, every time you walk through a door, like, it's kind of, like, changing.
Okay.
It was a really cool sequence, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm enjoying that game. I've been spending a surprising amount of time doing, like, side stuff, which I don't normally do in games. But, like, it's all, none of it's super complicated, other than that parade one that I think it was just underleveled.
It's so hard.
Because I've done a few other escort missions.
Okay.
And they haven't been as bad. So I think that one, maybe, like, the level is just, like...
I mean, the things are, like, 20 levels higher than me.
Yeah, so I think that just has to do with it. Because, like, it's actually not too hard to take, like, if you're one-on-one with an enemy, you can take on, like, basically any enemy as long as you keep your distance and, like, time your dodges right.
Yeah.
Because that's what that robo-dojo thing is like. Like, the last one I went up with, I think he was level 40 or 50. I have at least one more to go because he's waiting up there for me.
Okay.
It's just so fucking time consuming when they're that high.
If
they're like 20, 30 levels higher than you, the fight just takes fucking forever. Because even when you're getting in there and attacking, you're doing so little damage to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, but at least it's like possible. And I don't know if you've messed with them much yet, but like the chips that like do your abilities.
A little bit.
So, when you're in the resistance camp, you know, there's the lady that has the mask on that will, like, tell you some stuff.
Yeah.
And then across from her, there's that, like, area with all the cots set up.
Yeah.
And there's the person right there
mm-hmm.
where she will help you optimize your chips.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to go to her. You can do that right from the menu.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had seen that.
She can also upgrade, like, merge your chips.
Yeah. Have you noticed how you get more spaces in that? Is it just with your level?
No, you can buy them from her.
Oh, you actually buy this. I haven't gone to her and asked to shop at all.
Yeah, go to her and shop. She has, like, it'll be like plus 8 or plus 16 or
okay.
I want to say the last time I went to her she had 8, 16 and 24.
Okay, yeah, I didn't even cuz I've never gone to shop for her because I don't buy those chips cuz I have so many of them.
Yeah. That's the only thing I've bought from her is the upgrade.
Do yourself a favor if you haven't gotten it already. Get at least the deadly health 2 or 3.
I think I have a plus 1. So right now.
I think all of the vendors basically will sell the plus 2 and the plus 3 and they're not too expensive. Okay. They're great though cuz every time you kill an enemy you basically get all your health back. And then, depending on how weak you were, but like, yeah. When you're in those areas where like a bunch of enemies are fighting you,
mm-hmm.
like your health just, it's almost always up.
Yeah.
And then there's also one that, gives you health back for all the damage you
do. Okay.
So like, if you have the spaces, those two things are awesome to have. Cause it's not that it's hard to dodge and everything, but like sometimes like you just want to like rush through something and like the only way to heal is to waste healing items then. And it's nice to just know that like you can fight and get your health back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know I have on like the auto potion thing.
Yeah, I did one of the auto things and it put that on instead of the deadly health. I'm like, no, fuck this. Like, why am I wasting potions? Like, just give me the thing where every time I beat an enemy, my health goes back up.
I've got like 60 potions.
Oh yeah, I have a ton of them too, but it's just like, no, this is a waste because eventually I'm going to need them during some like shitty boss fight.
Or maybe you should just stop sucking at video games and not need them.
I mean, I don't use them too often. That's why I have 60 of them. I haven't bought it. I bought 10 of them.
Like, you should never need them.
So some of the boss fights are just, if the boss fight where you have to go into the hacking minigame, the hacking minigame sucks. It's like a bullet hell in like a really confined space.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not, I don't like.
I've only done it once, so I don't.
I only did that one time too, and I just didn't like it. Well, actually, did you do it against the singing lady?
No.
Did you did the singing robot, right?
Oh, wait. Yes. Yeah. That's who it was against.
You do it against the Goliath the first time too, I think.
Yeah.
It's slightly different, yes. But you do it.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe.
But yeah, it's just some boss fights like you literally can't dodge their attack. So you can't actually hit them and dodge their attacks at the same time. So sometimes you have to kind of like just take one for the team and get hit. Cause it's easier than sitting there and dancing around them and just like doing like range damage. Cause then the fight just takes fucking forever. So like you take one for the team, you get hit twice, and then you throw a quick potion on you.
And some things hit real fucking hard.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I started watching Jessica Jones season 2 on Netflix. Still really good. I'm not quite as engrossed in it as I was the first season. Like, the first season I watched in a day. This one, I've been watching it since the weekend, and I'm up to episode 8. So I don't have much left to go, but it's definitely a slower pace than...
Well, did, what's his name show up yet?
Who, Kilgrave?
Yeah.
Other than, like, the recap, no.
I think he's either
going to be an hallucination or a flashback. In like one of the last like 2 or 3 episodes.
Okay.
But like some of these episodes have been really cool. There's a flashback episode that I just passed. I want to say it was episode 5 or 6 that definitely changed stuff up and gives you a look at what Jess and Trish were like, you know, in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. There isn't really a compelling villain this time. Like.
Well, yeah.
And it's not even like it's one of those things where it's like, oh, like nothing's gonna equal up to Kilgrave. Like the villain's just not very good.
Yeah, the Kilgrave sold it for me in the last one, in the first season. So I'm like, I can understand not being all that into it.
But it's also been like, you know, not that it was the best, but you know, the Hand in Iron Fist wasn't that bad. What was it? Cottonmouth was the second.
Yeah.
Was he the first one or the second one?
He was the first one. It was Cottonmouth.
So he was good. Diamondback was the second one, I think.
Yeah.
He kind of sucked. Still better than what I've gotten out of Jessica Jones so far, as far as like the villain of the season goes. But the show itself has been cool, and fucking Malcolm, her like neighbor from the first one that was a drug addict.
Yeah.
He's just the fucking best. He is the best guy in the world.
Okay.
He's literally he wants to work with her to like learn how to be a detective, but then every time she goes out, he just starts fucking repairing her apartment for her. Like, literally, like, the nicest guy.
Yeah.
And if he dies in this season, I'm fucking done with this show.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
And then, Erica and I, we went out on Saturday, I think it was. And we saw Game Night.
I want to see that.
Which is, Jason Bateman and, Rachel McAdams.
Right. Yes.
Right.
That movie was actually surprisingly good.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Like, I didn't really know. It had decent reviews, and I thought the concept sounded interesting. And, like, we were laughing a whole bunch during it, but, like, that movie throws just enough twists at you for, like a comedy. It's like, oh, shit, this was a well-done movie.
Yeah.
And, like, it has a really good cast. It's got, the guy that plays Winston from New Girl.
Okay.
He's in it. And then Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are in it, and they're great together. It's got the guy from Early Edition. I don't know what his name is. He was one of the guys rumored to be Cable. Okay. I think he was also on Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Oh, it's the guy who's in the USS Callister in Black Mirror.
No, not Jesse Plemons.
Okay, no.
He is also in
But he is also in Friday Night Lights.
It's like, I think the guy's name is like Kyle Chandler or something like that. Yeah, that guy. Kyle Chandler.
Okay.
He was on a show called Early Edition on, like, CBS in, like, the late 90s, where he literally got tomorrow's newspaper the day before and would look through it and go find out what, and, like, go find, like, somebody that gets murdered and, like, stop them from being murdered.
I remember that show. I wanted to watch it so bad.
It was a very 90s show.
Yeah.
Right up there with, like, Touched by an Angel and that show with the,
Remember Joan of Arcadia?
That was, like, a mid-2000s
show. Was it?
Okay. Yeah.
I remember
my television.
I remember Early Edition.
But yeah, that, like, I really enjoyed that movie. There's a really fun scene fairly early on where they all, so it's game night. Like, Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman's characters, they're a married couple who they're super competitive. They do a weekly game night with their friends.
Right.
And like they got together because they were on opposite teams at, like, a bar trivia. And, like, the first thing you should see Jason Bateman do is, like, buy a round of drinks for the other team to try and get them drunk so that his team would win. But they all think it's game night, but they also think that they're doing a murder mystery.
Yeah.
But, like, everything went sideways. And they have a real gun. And they think it's a toy gun. And, like, Rachel McAdams is, like, singing into it like it's a microphone and, like, dancing around and, like, waving at these guys that she thinks are actors and stuff like that. And, like, she has a gun. They don't realize that she thinks it's a game. So, like, she's making them do yoga poses and stuff like that. Like, because they tell them to, like, they don't know what to do. So they're like, everyone get on the ground and put your hands up and your heads down. And they're just like, how? Like, how can we do that? And she's like, do child pose, and, like, has to, like, get down and show them how to do it. And she ends up, like, tossing the gun to Jason Bateman during it. It's one of those scenes that's like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, Jesse Plemons, the guy from that episode of Black Mirror, he played a weird fucking character, okay. But it was really...
Well, yeah, he's
really good.
Because I listened to his episode from The Nerdist, which is now the ID10T podcast, and he's played some pretty weird characters. He was in Breaking Bad. He was in Friday Night Lights. He was who everyone thought was Matt Damon in the USS Callister episode of Black Mirror.
He does look a little like Matt Damon. He
looks almost exactly like Matt Damon in my eyes, yes. But, yeah, so he's played some weird characters, because you haven't gotten to the USS Callister yet. He plays kind of a weird character in that, too. So.
Yeah, he's a cop in this movie.
Yeah.
So... but that was really enjoyable. We also went to an Indian place in Collingswood. Cause did you guys
Indie Blue?
No, they closed.
Yeah, I know they've been closing, but I wasn't.
No, like they're gone. They closed.
It was within the past
23rd of February.
Yeah,
like they announced it and closed. Like,
Yeah.
Apparently, like the building that they had needs work, and they weren't willing to put the money into it. And I guess the owner of the building had been trying to sell it for years anyway. So they just kind of like, we're just done with this. Like, their lease was up on the 28th, so they closed on the 23rd and got all their shit out. They still have the Philly location.
Yeah, I figure they'll probably get another Jersey location.
Eventually. They don't have any, like, immediate plans, but they did say that they're going to look at, you know, future possibilities. But, like, we really liked that place, and we went to Indian food on Saturday before we went to the movies. So when we found out that was closed, there's another one right on Haddon Ave called India, but with a Y at the end. It's if you hang a left on Collins Ave, on Haddon Ave, it's a little past the Wawa.
Okay, so by like the brewery and stuff.
Yeah, so the brewery is on one corner, and then on the corner across from it is the all fired up, like the paint your pottery place. Yeah. India is like two doors down from the pottery place.
Okay, yeah.
Because we actually went to that brewery for like 20 minutes while we were waiting for the India place to open too.
Okay.
But their food was really good.
Cool.
It was good Indian food if you like Indian food.
I haven't really tried Indian food.
It's good.
I'm afraid to because I don't know what I can have and not can't have.
So.
I'm sure I can have most curry things and stuff like that. Like I'm pretty sure they don't cook with a lot of wheat in India, so.
I don't know in unless general, it's just the but bread. Their menus all actually say like GF and V. Okay. And V.
A lot of places are doing it now.
So, because like, yeah, like Erica never has a problem finding food to eat there because they have so many like vegetarian options.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'd actually probably like it. You should try Indian food.
Cool.
Even if you started like real basic and got like chicken tikka masala or something
like
that.
Yeah.
Like it's like chicken and like a semi spicy sauce with like jasmine rice. Can you have rice?
Is that rice is fine.
Okay.
Rice is
I can never remember if
that's... it's wheat and barley.
That's right. You can't actually drink normal beer or anything.
Right.
But yeah, that was my week too, so.
Not very busy weeks from us.
No.
But not a very busy time for all of us, I guess.
No, I mean, I've been playing Nier, and I read comics, but nothing really, like, special.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's a show.
Yeah.
We're just over the two-hour mark, which means the show's probably only going to be... Well, actually, no, the show will be 2 hours because the video's there, so I can't truncate silence.
And if you were here at the beginning of the show, you'll know that we talk about, at the end of the show, find out where you can listen to the show. So, go ahead, Cub.
So... If you'd like to find more of our stuff, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. If you want to find our podcasts, they are on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, basically anywhere that you could possibly want to listen to a podcast.
Yep.
You can also help us out by supporting us over at patreon.com/onequest. You can find a video of this recording, if you're not already watching it, at youtube.com/onequestvideo.
I'm doing it right this time, guys.
Yeah, look, if you're watching the video, you can see that those guys actually learn how to point at things on the screen.
Yep.
Last time, if you missed it, right under Richie, it says Patreon, but he was pointing at me saying, yeah, Patreon.
You know, don't let them go watch it at youtube.com/onequestvideo.
Anyway, we're also social media, facebook.com/onequestonline, and we are at @one_quest on Twitter.
I started pointing before you said that. That's why I missed it.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But you should just know now. Facebook first, Twitter second.
You probably like to keep me on my toes.
No, so. I never change that. It's always Facebook, then Twitter.
Okay.
It flows better. I actually fucked up because I did the podcast stuff before the Patreon. Like, I threw myself off.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here with us. We'll be back next week with something. Probably, unless the world ends.
That's like our ongoing joke now, isn't it?
Listen, I guess that's... It could always happen.
That's fair. That's our enjoy your burrito is we'll be back next week unless the world ends. You know what? I like that. Up top, guys.
That was really bad. We're all a little too far away from each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and bye.
See ya.